Well, we're going to look at the second part of our Torah portion, Mishpatim. And, you know, Yah loves us. And we know that by His grace and His mercy that He shows on us. Even when we don't deserve it, He still loves us and shows us grace. But one thing we can't forget is that He loves our neighbors too. Amen. He loves them too, and He may not like their ways, but He still loves them. He still calls them children of Yah. And one thing we shouldn't get into the habit of doing is looking at them as Egyptians, because that's not how God sees them. He sees them as their children, because whenever we do that, we can have some bad thoughts come on us, you know, because if I have ill feelings towards my neighbor, it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault but my fault. I'm the reason for it, nobody else. It's not because of what they did or what they're going to do. It's because I have something in me that needs fixing. So whenever we recognize that, we have to humble ourselves, and Yah reveal to us that issue that needs fixing in our life. So we're going to cover Exodus 22, 1 through 17. We'll look at Leviticus 6, 1 through 5, and Luke 19, 1 through 10. So we'll look at the Mishpatim again. It means judgment or right rulings. And the Mem in Mishpatim means waters, chaos, mighty, blood. The letter Shin means tooth or sharp, press, eat, two. And the letter Pe means mouth, open, blow, scatter, edge. Tet means basket, surround, or contain, mud. The Yod is arm, hand, work, throw, worship. In Mem, again, is waters, chaos, mighty, blood. Mishpatim is bookended with a Mem. The water can be chaotic and mighty, but also be a cleansing, a way to purify our hearts, just as Mishpatim are meant to do. They are meant to be chewed on, pressed into our hearts, sharply removing selfishness. And we all need this. And that's why Yah give us this to go over every year. That way we can get a deeper understanding of it, because last year we didn't know this stuff. But He's revealing it to us little by little. And that's how Yah operates. He don't give us the whole thing at one time, because we'll run off with our tails between our legs, not knowing what to do. But He gives it to us little at a time. That way we can chew on it and press it in our heart. They should be spoken to scatter the lies of the enemy and open our hearts to our fellow man. Again, our neighbors. They are to be done with our own hands and should be worked on every day. And we know when we miss a day. We should be working on us every day, because we need it. I know I need it. Need it badly. They surround us in our everyday life and contain the very acts of worship that we can do every day. The Mishpatim. We have an opportunity every day to live it out. Yah's laws bring into view the general liability for the consequences of our actions and neglect. Nothing is more difficult than to bring to attention in most people's minds a vivid sense of the results of their own character and conduct. And look, we was all there. Because remember, it was everybody else's fault. It wasn't something that I did. They readily acknowledge the responsibility of others, but not their own. And look, I don't have to go far back to see this in my life. Even though I was a believer, I did these things. I remember doing things to my neighbor not long ago. And I felt it here. I didn't know this, but I felt it here, right? Because we don't get everything. Remember, Yah said that He'll write it on the tablets of our heart. And it's them things we don't remember. Whenever we face with it, we could sense something there. You know, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe it's too late. Maybe you're saying I should have never did it. But now we get to see it more and more. The more we go over these Torah portions, the more we see of some of them things that's been pricking us in our heart years ago. We're starting to see them now. Restitution, the act of restoring to the rightful owners something that has been taken away. Lost or surrendered, the act of making good or compensating for loss, damage or injury, indemnification. So that's what we're going to see today. We're going to go over these slides. What we're going to see, it's about restitution. It's about treating our neighbor the way we want to be treated. Because remember, Yah wants to show His love to our neighbors too, even though they're not born again. But how does He get it to them? He gets it through us. That's right, through every one of us. So if we're not living in Yah's character, we're not going to do it. We're going to revert back to us. Well, look what they did me. You know, and this might be something 10 years ago that'll pop up. It's like, man, I remember when He done me that. But if we operating with the law, with the character of Yah, this stuff is going to become second nature to us. And that's what we want. We don't want to have to think about it. As soon as them thoughts come, we want to cast them down because we know they're not from Yah, because Yah portrays love. He loves them. Even though they're in the state they're in, He still loves them. And He wants to get His love to them through us. That's how He gets it. So it's gonna teach us a couple things here. It's gonna teach us the practical laws for everyday life. Very practical stuff. And some of the commentaries I went over, they made this way too complicated. Way too complicated, because it says what it says. You know, but you know, we still have to go back to the Hebrew because of their words. You know, their pictures too. And sometimes we don't get their pictures. How to be a good neighbor. And the way we do that is through humility and selflessness. That's the only way we can do it. Because if we're constantly thinking about ourselves and what we need, we totally forget about our neighbor. So here we go. Exodus 22:1. When a man steals an ox or a sheep and shall slaughter it or sell it, he repays 5 cattle for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there is no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there is guilt for his bloodshed, he shall certainly repay. If he has not the means, then he shall be sold for the theft. So he's saying, if you notice in verse 2, he says, if the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there's no guilt for his bloodshed. He says, but if the sun has risen. So if a thief's breaking into your house and it's dark, and you strike him to protect your family and yourself, and he dies, it says there's no guilt for his bloodshed. But if the sun's up, if you can see him, you shouldn't hit to kill him. It's to injure. You don't want to kill a person. He's not saying don't protect. But I mean, if you have a gun, don't shoot for the head, in other words. You want to cripple the guy. I know it sounds harsh, but for my family, it's my duty. I don't get a pass on this. It's my duty. If the theft is indeed found alive in his hands, whether it is an ox or a donkey or sheep, he repays double. And you think about all of these things because it applies to us. I mean, it really does. You don't have to do a whole bunch of thinking. I mean, if I have chickens and my neighbor comes and kills one of my chickens, he's supposed to repay. That's what it says. If I do the same to him, I repay. There's a restitution you have to pay. Did I cover verse 4? Yeah? So we're going to look at it from the complete Jewish Bible. And the verses is structured a little different. If a thief caught in the act of breaking in is beaten to death, it is not murder. Unless it happens after sunrise, in which case it is murder. A thief must make restitution, so if he has nothing, he himself is to be sold to make good the loss from the theft. If what he stole is found alive in his possession, he is to pay double, no matter whether it is an ox, a donkey, or a sheep. Verse 5. When a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare, and lets loose his livestock, and it feeds in another man's field, he repays from the beast of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If this was me, I'd keep my ox tied up. This is some serious restitution here. I mean, you're talking about land. Land was valuable. I mean, the stuff that was valuable to them in them days were land and animals. So, yeah. I'm going to make sure I'm a double time. verse 6, when fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain or standing grain or the field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall certainly repay. So if you start a fire and another fire comes from it, whatever it destroys, home, anything, you know. And I thought about them folks' house that burned for New Year's. I mean, I don't know who started it, but if somebody else started it, they were supposed to pay restitution. You know, so I can tell you this. Next year for New Year's, I'm going to watch. Because I don't want to have to buy a house for somebody, because that's what the Torah said we should do. A car, a boat, whatever it is, we got to be careful. And it's all because God loves them. He don't want our neighbors to go through that, because whenever they go through it, we go through it with them, because we have to replace that stuff. And he don't want that. And that's why he laid down these laws of restitution. Verse 7. When a man gives silver or goods to his neighbor to guard, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he repays double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought before Elohim to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. So, again, this is stuff that we've seen before, too. I mean, a lot of us, it happened to us, you know. But in this case, the latter end is the owner that was given the goods. He has to go to the judge. He says, go before Elohim to make sure he's not the one who stole them. But if they do find a guy who stole them, then it's good. But if not, he has to go in front of Elohim. What he means, he has to go in front of the judge. and they determine whether he's guilty or not. Verse 9, for every matter of transgression, for ox, for donkey, for sheep, for garment, or for whatever is lost which another claims to be his, let the matter of them both come before Elohim. And whomever Elohim declares wrong repays double to his neighbor. I found this little bitty light in my yard, and I can tell it was old light. It's one of the headlights didn't have the strap on it, LED. The paint, most of the paint was going off of it, and I pressed it and it came on, and it worked like it was new. I mean, it was really bright, and I had a good idea who it was. They dropped it, and I started to throw this thing away, and I'm like, you know, I was reminded of this. I can't do that because it's my neighbor's, and if I find anything that belongs to my neighbor, I keep it until he returns. And I done that, but it's the things like that you're reminded of. Small town. I mean, it was a light. I could have bought him another light, and that's what I thought. I'd just buy him one. But no, this is his light, not the one you buy. This is his light. So I returned Johnny his light. He was glad to see it. Verse 10. When a man gives to his neighbor a donkey or ox or sheep or any beast to watch over, and it dies or is injured or is driven away while no one is looking, let an oath of Yah be between them both that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he does not repay. So whenever something is given to us, like, I mean, for this case, it's animals. You know, maybe the neighbor was going out of town. He said, look, watch over my animals for me. Well, them animals become yours. You take care of them like they're yours. I mean, you give them the same food you give in yours, you give to them. Because that's what Yah would do. That's his character. He don't have something set aside for somebody else's goods that you're watching. He says, no. He says, you take care of it like it's yours. And if something happens to it, must cover that in the next. But if, verse 12, but if it is indeed stolen from him, he repays it to its owner. So if it's under your watch and something happens to it, you're responsible for it. You're responsible. If it is torn to pieces, then let him bring it for evidence. He does not repay what is torn. In other words, if another animal gets it, and it's torn to pieces, you bring some evidence of it and say, look, you know, I was watching, and there ain't nothing I could have did. You know, it got torn to pieces, and here's part of it. Verse 14, and when a man borrows from his neighbor, and it is injured or dies, while the owner of it is not present, he shall certainly repay. Certainly, and look, this is all easy stuff. And I was looking at some of the literature on it. I mean, they go on these rabbit trails. I'm like, well, golly, you got all of that from this? But if its owner was with it, he does not repay. If it was hired, he is entitled to the hire. So if you and the owner of the, whatever it is, donkey, whatever animal it is, and you're together, and something happens to it, then you don't have to repay him. Unless you hired him to do the job, then you have to pay him whatever whatever you're entitled to. And we'll look at Leviticus 6:1. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, when any being sins, and committed a transgression against Yah, and has lied to his neighbor about a deposit or about a pledge or body robbery, or shall extort from his neighbor, or has found what was lost and has lied concerning it, or did swear falsely, so to that he sins in regard to any of all these that a man does, then let it be, when he sins and shall be guilty, that he shall return what he took by robbery, or what he has extorted, or the deposit which was deposited with him, or the lost item which he found, or all that about which he swore falsely, he shall repay its total value, add 1/5 more to it, and give it to whom it belongs on the day of his guilt offering. In Luke 19:1. And having entered, he was passing through Jericho, and see, a man called Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he was seeking to see who Yeshua was, but was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And having run ahead, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, because he was about to pass by. And as Yeshua came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I have to stay at your house today. And I bet you at that moment, he felt it. I've been cheating these people. And Yeshua's coming to my house. Yeah, that tree must have been shaking. Because look what he did. He says, and he hurried and came down and received him rejoicing. Seeing it, they all grumbled, saying, he has gone in to stay with a man who is a sinner. They all knew it. They all knew what the tax collectors was about same thing now, padding the pockets, filling it up, all about self. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to him, Master, so here he goes. He's spilling his guts right here. Look, Master, I give half of my possessions to the poor. He said, I'm going to do this. I know I'm guilty. I'm going to do this. And if I have taken whatever from anyone by false accusation, I repay fourfold. So he says, I'm going to repay him. But what, you know, you look at that story and you know, what causes that? Because he was repenting. That's what he was doing. He humbled himself. That's right. He got pricked in his heart like, man, I've been doing this, and here's that guy I've been hearing about, and now I see him, and he wants to come to my house. The tax collector, all these other people, all these religious leaders, he didn't want to go to their house. He wanted Zacchaeus, because he knew, if I can change him, I can change, people will see it, and they'll want to be changed too. That's the same thing. That's our testimony, you know, because we was out there. We wasn't no tax collector, but we was getting taxes. Don't worry about that. We was taxing everybody we could tax. Verse 16. Did I finish it? Okay. And Yeshua said to him, today, deliverance has come to this house. And that's exactly what happened for us. We heard about him. We heard about him, and we repented, and salvation came to our house. And that's the time you'll never forget. That's one of them encounters, your first encounter, true encounter with Yah. You never forget that stuff. You remember where you at. I don't remember what time, but I know exactly where I was at, and I needed it right there. Because if not, it was life or death. And it could have been a literal death. For the Son of Adam was come to seek and to save what was lost. So Yeshua came to seek and save what was lost. Hallelujah to that. All right, back to Exodus 16. And when a man entices a maiden who is not engaged and lies with her, he shall certainly pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he pays according to the price, bride price of maidens. So in other words, this guy took her unwillingly, and if the father's okay with it, he can have his daughter, but he has to pay the bride price. If he's not okay with it, he still has to pay that price. He don't get her. He don't get her, but he still has to pay that price. Accountability to Yah. Verse 18. Do not allow a practicer of witchcraft to live. Anyone lying with a beast shall certainly be put to death. He who slaughters to an Elohim, except to Yah only, is put under the ban. Do not tread down a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Mitzrayim. And that's what we have to remember. Whenever we look at anybody, because wherever we at, it's our neighbors. We look at them. We have to remember, I was once there. I was once there. That was me. And it should humble us. It should humble us. Do not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you do afflict them at all, if they cry out to me at all, I shall certainly hear their cry. In Psalm 68:4, sing to Elohim, sing praises to his name, raise up a highway for him who rides through the deserts, by his name Yah, and exalt before him, Father of the fatherless and right ruler of widows is Elohim in his set apart place. Back to Exodus verse 24. And my wrath shall burn, and I shall kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If you do lend silver to any of my people, the poor among you, you are not to be like one that lends on interest to him. Do not lay interest on him. But what does the world do? What's their program? Interest on everything. And the poorer you are, the more interest you have. Isn't that crazy? That's absolutely crazy. That's what they do. They'll take Yah's word and just flip it right upside down to benefit them. Verse 26, if you take your neighbor's garment as a pledge at all, you are to return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering, it is his garment for his skin. What does he sleep in? His garment. And it shall be that when he cries to me, I shall hear, for I show favor. So anything that your neighbor's going to need that night and you borrowed, and you know, we should return it. Because if he cries out to Yah, Yah's going to hear him and show him favor. I don't know what happens with us, but he's going to show him favor. Verse 28, do not revile or take lightly Elohim, nor curse a ruler of your people. Now, this is a tough one. This is a tough one, because he's talking about people in high positions. And the reason why it's tough, because we know what they're doing. But he says, don't curse them. Don't curse them. Because what happens when we curse people? We bring a curse upon our life. We covered that in one of our Torah portions. Verse 30. Likewise, you are to do with your oxen, with your sheep. It is to be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you give it to me. And this reminded me that one of the teachings I did, actually it was the last Torah portion teaching I did, it was about honoring animals, honoring God's creation. And that's what he's honoring that mother, because that mother went through them birth pains to have it. So instead of just pulling it right from her, he's giving that mother time with the baby, even though it's an animal. He wants us to honor all of that, the animals too. Verse 31, and you are set apart men to me, and you do not eat any meat which is torn to pieces in the field. You throw it to the dogs. And this verse right here, I was reminded of Brother Nate, no more roadkill for that fella. We all know he liked his roadkill. You ain't eat at his house, you didn't know what was in the pot. Like this roadkill. No more roadkill. I'm after calling. No more roadkill, brother. Here it is, right here. All right, Exodus 23, verse 1. Do not bring a false report. Do not put your hand with the wrong to be a malicious witness. And that's tempting, too. We have to be very careful there whenever it comes to that, because you don't want to take part in conversations like that. Do not bring a false report, especially a false report. Because what typically whenever you're giving a false report, what does it do? It makes you look better. And we don't want to do that. The Torah is completely against that. We don't want to bash somebody else to make us look better. Because we're all child of Yah. We're all children of Yah. So, verse 2. Do not follow a crowd to do evil, nor bear witness in a strife so as to turn aside after many, to turn aside what is right. And do not favor or honor a poor man in his strife. So there's boundaries too whenever you deal with the poor. We don't encourage him in his strife. That's not what we do. We don't jump a bull and say, yeah, man, I can't believe it. No, that's not what we do. He says, don't do it. He said, don't honor a poor man in his strife. So you let him know where he went wrong, but you do it out of love. Verse 4. When you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall certainly return it to him. And I notice he put that word enemy, because we shouldn't have enemies. But you're returning that ox, you're not just going to return his ox. You want to make amends with that person while you're there. And by returning your ox, what does it do? It opens up a door. He's going to listen. You returned his ox. You didn't just run off with it and invite him to the barbecue. You returned and it opens up a door to make amends with him. When you see the donkey of him who hates you lying under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall certainly help him. So you help him. You help him with his donkey. Verse 6. Do not turn aside the right ruling of your poor in his strife. And again, it covers it again. And what he's saying is, you explain to him why, what went wrong, why he's in that condition, why he has strife. You explain, he says, do not turn aside the right ruling. Keep yourself far from a false matter, and do not kill the innocent and the righteous. For I do not declare the wrong right. So keep yourself far from false matters. Verse 8, and do not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the seeing one and twists the words of the righteous. And that's exactly what happened. Once we receive that bribe, and people see, especially our brothers and sisters, what we do. We have to twist the word to make it sound like we did something right. Well, we took a bribe is what we did. And do not oppress a sojourner, as you yourselves know the heart of a sojourner, because you were sojourners in the land of Mitzrayim. We were there. So we can identify with them, and that's what we should try to do, identify with them. And see if there's some kind of way we can help them. Verse 10, and for 6 years you are to sow your land and shall gather its increase. But the seventh year you are to let it rest and shall leave it, and the poor of your people shall eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field eat. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive yard. So you plant your field. I mean, you have nothing like we have now. I mean, guys in the church, we got these little gardens. I mean, they had fields. So after the 6 years was up, there was still more crops would just grow without planting the following year. And he's saying you leave that. You leave that for the poor. And for the whatever the poor don't get, the animals will eat. Verse 12. 6 days you ought to do your work, and on the seventh day you rest, in order that your ox and your donkey might rest, and the son of your female servant and the sojourner be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, take heed and make no mention of the name of the other mighty ones. Let it not be heard from your mouth. 3 times in a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Lord, the festival of Matzah. Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days you eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the new moon of Abib, for in it you came out of Mitzrayim, and do not appear before me empty-handed. So bring an offering. In the festival of the harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, in the festival of the ingathering, at the outgoing of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors of the field, from the field, 3 times in a year. Okay. 3 times in a year, all your males are to appear before the Master Yah. Do not slaughter the blood of my slaughterings with leavened bread, and the fat of my festival shall not remain until morning. Bring the first of the first fruits of your land into the house of Yah, your Elohim. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. See, I am sending a messenger before you to guard you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. And for them it was Moshe, but for us, Yeshua. Be on guard before him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he is not going to pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you diligently obey his voice and shall do all that I speak, then I shall be an enemy to your enemies and a distresser to those who distress you. For my messenger shall go before you and shall bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I shall cut them off. Do not bow down to their mighty ones, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but without fail overthrow them, and without fail break down their pillars. And why is he saying this? Because that's what they were doing in Egypt. They were worshiping all their mighty ones. And he's telling them, don't do it. He says, if you see these things, once you go into them cities, you see them, you tear them down, you break them down without fail. So you don't stop until it's done. Don't take no break. You keep going. And you shall serve Yah, your Elohim, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I shall remove sickness from your midst. None shall miscarry or be burdened in your land. I shall fill the number of your days. I shall send my fear before you and cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I shall send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I shall not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become a waste and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I shall drive them out before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I shall set you border, and I shall set your border from the sea of reeds to the sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the river. For I shall give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them, nor with their mighty ones. Let them not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me when you serve their mighty ones, when it becomes a snare to you. So he's laying down all of these ground rules for them, and look, we're going to see once. It's not going to take long. They're going to do exactly what he said don't do. They do the exact thing. And we have to be careful, because in a sense we're coming out of them pagan ways, and if we're not careful, we'll go right back into them. Little by little it'll happen. And to Moshe he said, come up to Yah, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall bow yourselves from a distance, but Moshe shall draw near to Yah by himself, and let them not draw near, nor let the people go up with him. And Moshe came and related to the people all the words of Yah and all the right rulings. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yah has spoken, we will speak. And that's exactly what we said whenever we was first born again. We just surrendered our whole life. It didn't matter what he said to do. We was willing to do it. And that's what they're saying. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want us to do. But we know as we went along that journey that it wasn't like that all the time. There's times where it changed. We didn't want to do them things because they were hard. You know, we were so used to doing it a certain way, and we'll see as we go through these Torah portions, they go through that same process, you know. And Moshe wrote down all the words of Yah, and rose up early in the morning, and built a slaughter place at the foot of the mountain, and 12 standing columns for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, and they offered ascending offerings, and slaughterings of peace offering, to Yah of bulls. And Yeshua took half the blood and put in Moshe. And Moshe took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the slaughter place. And this is exactly what happened with us, but we're not doing it. Yeshua is doing it for us. Whenever we repented, that's what he did. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that Yah has spoken, we shall do and obey." And Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "See the blood of the covenant which Yah has made with you concerning all these words." And Moshe went up, also Aharon, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel, and under his feet like a paved work of sapphire stone, and like the heavens for brightness. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the chiefs of the children of Israel. And they saw Elohim, and they ate and drank. And Yah said to Moshe, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there, while I give you tablets of stone, and the Torah, and the command which I have written to teach them." And Moshe arose with his assistant, Joshua, and Moshe went up to the mountain of Elohim, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you, and see Aharon and Hur are with you. Whoever has matters, let him go to them." And Moshe went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the steam of Yah dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days, and on the seventh day he called to Moshe out of the midst of the cloud. And the appearance of the steam of Yah was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain before the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moshe went up into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And it came to be that Moshe was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Fulfilling the law through love. Owe no one any matter except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the Torah. And that's Romans 13, 8 through 14. "For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other command, it is summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no evil to a neighbor. Does no evil. Therefore, love is completion of the Torah. And do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for us to wake up from sleep. For now our deliverance is nearer than when we did believe. And isn't that the truth? The night is far advanced. The day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We'll put on Yeshua every day. And whenever we do that, it's not a problem for us to shine a light to other people. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in wild parties and drunkenness, not in living together and indecencies, not in fighting and envy, but put on the Master Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. And that was the last one. But if we put on Yeshua, we don't have a problem showing love to our neighbor. You know, because that's his nature. He has the same nature as the Father. So it won't be a problem. But whenever we're not doing it, we see a big difference. You know, we start getting them thoughts. Things start coming up that happened in the past. But that's not what we want, because we know that Yah, He loves us. But He also loves our neighbor. He also loves our neighbor. And we want to do what's right, because look, we want them saved too. We want them born again. You know, that should be all of our goals and aspirations for our neighbors, to be born again, our family members. And I think as long as we keep getting these teachings on the Torah, we're going to get closer and closer to that. You know, things are going to start happening. Well, I saw the notes Pastor Josh sent me this morning at 6 o'clock. He sent me a text.